Down the Dump Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Down the Dump Podcast. It is November 22nd, 2013. We appreciate you tuning in. Remember, search for us on Twitter. Search DTD Podcast. Follow us there. We love to talk back with our Twitter followers. Remember also to look for us on iTunes. Search Down to Dunk. Also check us out on our new website, downtodunk.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, remember, rate us, review us, subscribe to us through your phone or through your computer. We enjoy you listening. It is less than a week from Thanksgiving. We are in the middle of a fun little homestand for the Thunder where they play really some good teams. They played the Nuggets. They played the Jazz this Sunday. They also played the Clippers last night. They play the Warriors and the Spurs coming up next week around Thanksgiving. It's a good time to be a Thunder fan.
Indeed.
Andrew, Taylor, how are you doing?
Pretty good, you know. I got them swallows on lock, you know what I'm saying? Them geese all up in my junk.
I'm running a half marathon on Sunday.
Yes.
Oh, shoot.
And it's supposed to be, like, real cold and rainy, snowy.
It's supposed to be, like, 34 degrees.
It's supposed to be just awful.
Holy
tight to that, man.
So I'll probably be, like, power walking it.
No, you're going to run it.
And you have to run.
I just imagine myself looking a lot like Cole Aldrich the whole time.
Because you're going to move so much to
I'm
try to
I'm just
going to
have
warm.
So much movement with my shoulders and feet.
I never understood. I never really put mental, you know, thought into Cole Aldrich's running, but that is a very good assessment.
This whole time, Cole's just been really cold.
Really cold.
Oh, my God. What if that's the problem?
He just runs with his shoulders.
I'll tell you this, though, Andrew. You think you're going to do that, but here's what happens every time you do that. You've done one before, haven't you?
Yeah.
You get there and you get so excited because there's so many people there, and it's not really, you're never really cold. Now, this Saturday may be completely different than that because it is going to be really cold. Like 30 is the high, and anyway, but that's a good day, man. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
I hope you succeed.
Thank you.
If you fail, I will still accept you.
Okay. What a great welcome.
That's why I keep coming back.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I'm here for y'all.
So I have a quick story before we start. We have true false today. We have our game that Taylor came up with. We have our pour one out. We have our say what's out of the week. Kind of the normal things that we're doing. But I want to share something. Number one, it's kind of a humble brag. But number two, it's also because I'm not sure I experienced anything like this. So on Monday night for the Nuggets Thunder game, I have a friend whose parents have not courtside, but three rows off of the floor, four rows maybe off the floor, tickets. So really close, which if I know you guys have both been that close before for some game, but it's a different world down there. Taylor hasn't, but it's a different world down there. Number one, they have a restaurant underneath the stadium where the players walk by. It's called like the clubhouse. I don't know what it's called, which I've been to before. But
Courtside Lounge.
And inside that is free food, and they do this little buffet line. It's like, you know, nice, high class, like salmon. Who eats salmon other than rich people, right?
I would eat it.
Yeah, if it wasn't so expensive. And chicken. Who eats chicken, right?
That's the stuff for kings.
Beef stroganoff. That's for German kings. Russian. Anyway, but
I don't know.
Have all this food and drinks and all that stuff. The drinks you have to pay for, the food's for free. And
free soda.
And you kind of jump in and out of those spots, right? Like you can go in there and during halftime or timeouts, quarter changes, and come back out. Great. Cool moment, whatever. It's kind of fun. So you sit down. But the thing that was hard is I sat about three or four rows back from where Kevin Durant's family sits, like where Tony and he had three other buddies of his that were there, just a crew of his. And so he comes over all the time throughout the game and talks to them. And then this night also Nate Robinson was, you know, cussing at him, and it was really funny. But there are times in the game where Durant will look at them from like midcourt or from underneath the basket, and he's literally talking to them, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, he's looking at me.
That's what I was thinking you're about to say.
Oh, my God, we are making, like,
hey, Kevin.
Like, he got fouled, and he's looking over at his guys, and he's just, like, kind of looking. I'm, like, trying to, yeah, man, you did get fouled. Like, trying to do all this thing. Because for one second, I thought, we're best friends.
Me and Kev. Even if it's fake, even if you know he's talking to his brother, you got to take what you can get. You take what you can get.
Well, and so, but you're so close at that point. And trust me, like, I never get these tickets. But you're so close where you do convince yourself that there's something happening. Like, I can yell at Russell Westbrook and say, get him, Russ, keep shooting. Knowing that he can actually hear me from that point. And it's a crazy experience. But the biggest thing about it that's every time I'm there, I'm taken back by it is how humongous these guys are. Like, you know they're big, and you understand that 7 foot tall is huge. But seeing it that close is it's incredible to understand how big these guys are.
Yeah, it's insane.
Timofey Mozgov is 5 inches taller than Steven Adams, it felt like. Yeah, I know he's really not,
he's huge.
Humongous out there. Seeing how big Durant is. Durant's bigger than most centers in the league right now.
Yeah.
Most power forwards.
He's the size of Chris Bosh.
Gosh. It's crazy. But fun experience, man. And, you know, I would have loved to have had the same seats for Clippers because I would have been three rows behind Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Instead.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, I heard something. One more thing. My buddy told me this as part of the that night. Whenever they find people to shoot the half-court shots, they're looking at shoes when you walk in.
Looking at shoes?
Shoes.
Okay, shoes. So what shoes do you wear?
Basketball shoes on or some sort of...
They won't do it.
They will choose you to do it.
Oh.
The likelihood of them choosing it. So if you walk in that main entrance and you have basketball shoes, it increases your chance. Not that they're going to do that shot for much more because they've lost like $300,000 doing the shot for the last 3 years.
Do we have the record? Do we have the record for most half-court shots made in the past 3 seasons?
It's got to be.
Last night was the second of a back-to-back that guy hit it.
Yeah, my friend Brad Brucker. Shout out.
That's awesome that was your friend, by the way.
Yeah.
People talk about it nationally, so I think it's got to be a record.
Yeah, everybody's like, this is weird.
Yeah, I can't believe they did it again.
So two things about that. Number one, after it happened, it shows Sam Presti up there, and he is like visibly enjoying the moment, like laughing and smiling. And then it cuts to him, and you see him go. He's talking to somebody, and he's on his phone, and he's talking to somebody in front of him. And goes, they're going to go broke.
He says, you know,
kind of joking about that. Number one. Number two, Royce said last night on Twitter, he said, if it ever comes down to it, and the Thunder really need a big shot from half court, I'm subbing in a fan.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's real. Hilarious. The percentages are probably a lot better. Sorry, one more thing. There's that and a buzzer beater are like the two best things that happen in a Thunder game. Like the crowd goes nuts for a half court shot. It's really crazy. That's really exciting.
I missed the one again. When I was there for the Nuggets, I went to the bathroom and came back in. I'm sitting there in the bathroom and the stadium goes nuts, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I just missed it. Anyway, fun experience. The Thunder do a good job of making it a fun show. It's way better to watch it live as far as no commercials and crap like that. They actually do stuff entertaining wise. But with all that in mind, it's true or false time. True or fake time.
If you want the truth, you can't handle the truth. True or false time, y'all.
Question number one. This is from Steven _ Gertz, a good friend from 5 Seconds of the Paint out of Cleveland. Well, out of Pittsburgh, talking about Cleveland. Steven Adams will keep his PER above 15 for the rest of the month.
I say true.
Andrew, will you explain the stat for us?
True. It's player efficiency rating. It has mostly to do with offense and rebounding. Which he is great at rebounding. I think he's an above-average offensive rebounder and a pretty good defensive rebounder. So 15 is league average. So I think that he's above average in both those statistics. He's not playing very many minutes, and he's putting up big numbers in those minutes. So I think that he will easily stay above 15 because of that. It really, he's like the perfect PER guy because he usually hits a high percentage of his shots. And he rebounds the ball well.
Do you have anybody else that you can tell me what their PER is? Like DeAndre Jordan or
Yeah, let me pull it up. But he's currently at 16.25, and he's the ninth best center for PER in the league.
Pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Let me say, I'll say true, and this is why. Last night against the Clippers, which is the team that was his first ever start a week ago or a week and a half ago, Steven Adams at times actually looked a little bit lost offensively, right? Or defensively, excuse me. And some of that ended up costing him minutes in that game and then against the Warriors. And if you watch last night's game against the Clippers where the Thunder won by, 14 or whatever, Adams really started figuring out how to play against them. And so if you can figure out how to play defense against a team like that, because my issue with Adams is not one-on-one, ever.
Mm-hmm.
If you put – I don't give a crap what center it is. I trust him enough that I don't think it's that big of a drop-off one-on-one. Where he struggles is where to be during pick and rolls and how to – he's overplays a little bit and does different things like that. And he started picking it up last night against the Clippers, which means – and he outplayed Perkins last night 24 minutes to 20.
Mm-hmm.
I think that number only goes up because he's not going to be a ball dominant guy. He'll get 5 to 6 shots a night and make 3 or 4 of them a night. So his field goal percentage is going to go higher and higher, and he's going to get 8 to 10 rebounds a game.
Yeah, I think he'll be between 16 and 18 probably for the season, which is a really nice PER. A guy that has the 6th best PER in the league right now is Jordan Hill. And he's a guy who has a really high rebound rate right now and is hitting lots of his shots. He may not necessarily, he's definitely not the 6th best player in the league, but he has a PER of 25. Kevin Durant has the 2nd best PER currently, and it's at 27. And then Anthony Davis is number 1 at 30.
He's playing his mind out. Right
because
now.
He's putting up numbers in every single category there is to put numbers in.
So let me just to continue on in my Steven Adams love. This is a quote from last night. He's going to be good. I just like him. I liked him in our workout. I was still the coach in Boston when he worked out for us, and I really liked him. He's going to be a good player. He has great hands, can shoot the ball pretty well. He's big. He has size. What is he, like 20? What were you guys doing at 20? I'd like to know that right now. We don't even want to know, do we? But he's going to be a good player. That was a hell of a draft pick.
That's from Doc Rivers
last night. And you saw him after the game. He sought Steven Adams out.
Yeah.
And swatted him on the behind.
Yeah.
He would. That's awesome. That is a very Doc Rivers guy, though.
And everybody, I mean, there's Doc Rivers. I mean, all the ESPN commentators, anytime they have good things to say about Steven Adams. Like, everybody
Charles
watches.
Barkley loves him.
Everybody watches this guy. Yeah. Barkley's so funny because he never knows what to call him. He's like, that's Steven Allen? That Adams? Like, it's so funny. But
that Adams guy from.
But everybody.
He's terrible.
That was my best, Charles Barkley.
I actually closed my eyes for a second. I thought you were sitting next to me.
I wish we'd have got him on today. He's in town.
Should have been pretty easy.
All right, moving on. Question number 2 is Steven _Gertz again. This is a personal question, but it says Taylor's scrappiness is why he would win a 1-versus-1-versus-1 game between you all. So I'm assuming a game of 21.
Oh, is that what he was talking about? I thought it was a fight.
No, he would have said a fight, I'm assuming.
Not a game, unless that's what you call your fight.
From the very start, even when I read that, I thought of a fight. Well, let me say a fight, no way in hell, because Jay, none of you see how big Jay is.
Jay would punch us both with his fists at the same time, and then we would just fall.
Yeah, and the fight would be over.
Yep. I am a fairly large person. I don't know if Steven gets that, maybe.
Mm. No, the people can't see that
I'm
on the podcast.
3.5. 265.
Let's post. We'll post a picture of you in your skivvies later today, so everyone can see. But no, I would not. I'll say false.
How much did you say you weighed?
265.
I thought you said 365 for a second. I was like, "There's no way."
God. His bones. Just his bones are 250.
Have you seen his femur?
260. 260.
260. All right, my bad.
Depends on the day.
I will say false. I would not win 1-on-1-on-1 in 21. Because Jay's actually really good at basketball, and he would just back us down the whole time.
Here's what I say about this. Let me give you 2 things. I never played with Andrew, so I have no idea. We need to invite Andrew next time we play, number 1. Yeah, we're going to try to play Thanksgiving break. Number 2,
yeah.
I played basketball with Taylor Dickerson literally from his basketball conception until now. And so I watched
Inception, Taylor. If you will.
Taylor started playing on, we played on Thursday nights or something, and Taylor would show up and play at our church, and he would just didn't know how to play basketball. But Taylor, when he started playing, would go to the wellness center at UCO, and he would play basketball all the time. He would go to the park and play with these metal nets. And all of a sudden, in the course of like 8 months, Taylor goes from being this guy that has no idea how to play basketball to, holy crap, Taylor knows how to play basketball. So we asked him to play on our Lighthouse team, which is a little rec league here. So Taylor's scrappiness is one of his best things. But his best thing is his corner three-point shot. He's my little Daquan Cook, man.
And I'm not even consistent at it. I'm good at shooting them. I'm good at taking them.
So, you know, I don't like that question because I don't want to put any of us in a box of how good or bad we are.
If it was a fight, though, Jay, then Andrew, then me.
Okay. Question number three. Thanks, Stephen. We appreciate you, man. We'll come on the pod here soon. Question number three. If Jeremy Lamb got Bradley Beal's minutes and role in the Wizards offense, his stats would be comparable. At Matt underscore Judkins, good friend of ours.
So...
I'm not there yet with that for Lamb and Beal.
No, I'm no. definitely not False. There. If you look at their per 36 numbers, it's pretty interesting. They would both, in 36 minutes, they both average 16 points a game. They both have half a block. They both have one steal. Beal averages almost three assists to Lamb's, like, 1.5. They're both four rebounds a game. I mean, they're almost identical in their per 36 numbers, which is kind of crazy, but just that doesn't pass the eye test for me watching Beal play. Like, I think Bradley Beal could be a top five shooting guard today. I think
absolutely.
I think that he is awesome. I don't think Jeremy Lamb is that. I don't see Jeremy Lamb really ever being a top five shooting guard.
The question, though, and I think this is valid, is that. Lamb will never get the shot
that Bradley Beal got.
Right, yeah. His role, yeah. I mean, if he was getting, and I think Bradley Beal shoots 18 shots a game. And if Lamb did that, you know, I think he could average 15, 16 points a game.
But just eye test.
But it doesn't, yeah.
Bradley Beal, too, one thing you have to take into consideration are his percentages. He's taking those shots. He's taking contested shots. He's running around the whole time, running off screens, running through all sorts of stuff. He's shooting 50% from three, and he's taking a lot of threes a game.
And the biggest thing right now, I think, also, is he's also getting every team's, I mean, maybe their second best defender,
yeah.
But...
If John Wall isn't on the floor, their best defender.
And yeah. Maybe they need to start putting the best defender on him.
He is killing people.
And the other thing for Thunder fans is we've watched him the past two times we played the Wizards. Well, two out of the last three, I think. And he went nuts.
Beal has killed us.
I went ahead and thought of the top five shooting guards I could. So this season so far I have Harden, Monte Ellis, Bradley Beal, Klay Thompson. I threw in Wade in there.
Just because you don't want him to tweet at you.
Yeah, but maybe I'll put in a Flalo in Wade's honorable mention.
Wade's been good, though.
Wade has been good. When he plays. I really like how Aflalo's been playing.
Aflalo's been awesome.
He has been amazing. But, I mean, that's literally what I think are the top six shooting guards in the league are. I consider Beal up there. I would not... I think you're right. If Jeremy Lamb was in that place, I don't think he would be what Beal is. Beal had a lot of experience last year, too, that Jeremy Lamb didn't have.
Yeah.
So I think Beal would be still better.
And I do want to also clarify that none of this, in my opinion, I don't think any of your opinions, is any sort of detraction on who Lamb is.
No.
Lamb has been great this year. So
I like
far.
Jeremy Lamb.
He had another good game last night. He didn't shoot from the three very well, but he played really, really well within himself. And he's not, like, he doesn't have to be the man. It's a perfect position for a guy like him.
Yeah, he's a role player.
So, we'll say false, just because, more because we think so highly of Beal than we do pessimistically about Lamb. So,
yeah.
Question number four is from at A. Buckner. Not sure who this guy is. It says, Kevin Love and Russell Westbrook will end up playing for the Lakers. False.
What do you think?
I think it's. I don't think it's. I think it's false. I don't. This new Lakers management is not. This isn't the same team. This isn't the same franchise anymore. I don't think. And I'll be very interested to see what they can do this summer because I think they're going to try to sign some guys this summer.
Is there any doubt in your mind that Melo's going to LA now?
Oh, gosh. We'll talk about
it. I mean, it's going to be a dumpster fire with him over there, too.
Shout out to Jamie.
Yeah, they'll give him 20 mil, and him and Kobe, and they'll probably try to re-sign Powell to a smaller deal. I don't know. I honestly don't. I don't think that they're going to be in a position to sign either one of those players. I do think that Kevin Love is going to leave the Timberwolves.
I think so, too.
But is Russ...
When does that happen?
After next year,
2015.
I yeah.
Summer 2015.
Because they didn't give him the max.
No, they gave him the 4-year deal.
Con.
Philip's going to try to get him to be there forever.
Of course.
This season.
Yeah, you want him to be, but I think that he's going to want to test free agency and see what else is out there. Because, I mean, I don't see the Timberwolves being a top, you know, contending team anytime soon. And they're pretty much maxed out.
You kind of feel like the... Because I think for the first week or two of the season this year, I thought, holy crap, the Timberwolves are going to be good this year. Now they've kind of tapered off a little bit.
I think they'll still be really good this year.
They're going to struggle defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going to outscore you is how they're going to beat you. And they can't do that every night. So,
more of a true for... Possibly true for Love, false for Russ, in my opinion.
I don't see Russell Westbrook leaving a team that has Kevin Durant on it.
So ultimately...
I don't know why he would.
In the end, the answer is false.
Right.
I would say right now the answer is false.
The only reason I could see Russ maybe doing that is if he wanted to be the man. Right?
Yeah.
But kind of is.
I kind of think he's over that.
Especially after this season.
He is the leader of the... He's the emotional leader.
You watch them on the court, man, and Durant's getting guys. I mean, they both are. It's a perfect combination between those two. The way it manifests itself is different for both of them, which is an awesome thing also to have. But they are perfect running a team together. So, question number five. Now that Marcus Smart is shooting 38% to 40% from three, he has the potential to be a top five pick in the 2014 draft. This is from @BrandonLand13. I thought he was a top five pick last year if he had come out.
That's what I was going to say. Like he was,
but this draft class is just exponentially stronger than this current one.
But as of right now, I would say he's definitely top five players in NCAA right now. He's probably the fourth best player right now.
Now I'm going to say that 3-point percentage may drop down whenever the sample size is not three games.
Right. It's four games, but he's taking a lot of
yeah.
He was stupid against Memphis. He shot 5 of 10
against Memphis.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Yeah, stupid as in a good way is what you're saying.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No, I would never have said he had 39 points, 26 in the first half.
But he was top 10.
Supposedly the number 11 team in the nation.
He was top 10 already, and people were like, he needs to get his perimeter shooting better. If it is better, then I totally think top five.
And a lot of this depends on who's picking where to. I mean, if a team, if like Washington ends up being terrible and they end up with the fifth pick, they're not going to choose Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's so much of what it
so
is.
So it just. It,
whoever needs a point guard, he's.
I do think that he
first
is.
Point guard off the board, probably.
He's first point guard.
It just depends, I think, on whether you think this Dante Exum guy from Australia is going to be that good or not. I think it's between those two at that point.
And that Harrison brother, the point guard Harrison twin, he might end up being better by the end of the year, but we don't know.
But this draft class is just going to be so good.
This is really, like, even though we're pleased with what he got with Steven Adams, like, you really wanted the Raptors pick this year, except for it may not be a lottery pick with how bad the East is.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. That East is a freaking mess right now.
It really is.
It's a sucky, sucky conference.
Smart's also averaging over 4 steals a game right now, and he had a game where he had 9 steals.
Dang.
That's how it was last year.
We like Marcus Smart. I think he's a great player. OSU's the favorite of the Big 12. I don't care about Andrew Wiggins, to be honest with you. they get Kansas and Stillwater this year.
I care about Andrew Wiggins.
I'm saying, like, as far as winning that.
Yeah.
The only issue for me, as an OSU fan, and this is just a side, I'm not an OSU fan, but if I were an OSU fan, what does Travis Ford do? He has historically been very average.
But he's historically not had a good team.
Well, I mean, last year they were pretty good and still lost to some crappy teams. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what Travis Ford brings. I've never been a fan of him, like, as a neutral OSU fan.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, he had him prepped up and ready to go for Memphis.
He's just never had a team like this, though.
Yeah. Not a lot of people ever get a team like this.
You ain't never had it like this before.
I think this team is incredibly talented. So, number six on ours. This is from Shaq Tacky. The Thunder should trade Perk, the Dallas pick, and the 2014 first-round pick for Omer Ershik. False. Moving on. Number six. You want to expound on that at all?
It's just too much for Ershik.
I just don't...
On this team.
I like Ershik.
It's just not a Thunder move to do that.
Two picks.
And that's taking away minutes from Steven Adams, which I don't agree with. This is something that Bill Simmons said this week on a podcast. He brought this straight up.
I'm over Bill Simmons.
Me too.
I can't tell you how over that guy I am right now.
I used to like him. I can't stand Bill Simmons anymore.
Still like him.
What is he? Has he even mentioned Steven Adams or Jeremy Lamb in their play this year? Like, that's the thing. Like, he's such an a-hole that he refuses to maybe say, okay, well, I was bashing this trade and making draft night mocking Steven Adams and the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Which so we all were.
Yes,
but he won't.
We have all reneged on it.
Yeah, but we don't even know if he's watched the Thunder play this year.
Yeah, but don't
so
be
then
so
don't talk about
it. Yeah, exactly. Every week he brings some stupid trade to the form. To the
we can go on to the next question. I don't know. You guys are getting so mad.
Can't stand that guy, dude.
I know.
And I love Bill Simmons. I think he's one of the best writers in the NBA. But he's just got this bent towards this. Ever since that trade again, it was like right back to the zombie days where everybody hates him, including me. Number seven. Speaking of writers, Zach Lowe from Grantland is the best NBA writer out there right now.
This is kind of an opinionated answer, but I like him the best.
Yeah.
Because I like all the numbers and stuff he can put into it.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Who else would you put up there?
I've always really liked John Schumann. He always has
ESPN?
NBA.com. I've always thought that he was really good. Just he brings out stats that you wouldn't think about.
He
makes you think about the game a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach Lowe does that too.
Yeah. I like Tom Haberstroh. I think he's really good. I miss John Hollinger. You know, I don't know why. I just always, John Hollinger's maybe like one of the first NBA guys I started following. David Thorpe is one of my favorite ones.
I like David
Thorpe. Mm-hmm. About him. He does more of the rookie and scouting stuff. Henry Abbott from True Hoops, also a good guy. Zach Lowe is one of my favorite. My only issue with him, and it's kind of because he comes out of the line of Bill Simmons, like, they are so wordy. Like, they just, their articles are
really long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I always come away like, oh, I'm much smarter now that I've read that.
Totally.
Yeah. And it's also, they add fun things that make it more relevant. And so, yeah, I think I'll probably put Zach Lowe.
He never really leaves any holes in his. In his points either, which I like about it. He covers every... You know,
honestly, this crop of guys at ESPN right now, I honestly do not really enjoy reading any of their stuff.
I don't know any of them.
I honestly don't sit down to read their stuff anymore. You know, Hollinger's gone. I honestly don't read that much from ESPN. I mostly read Zach Lowe's stuff every week. Yeah.
CBS got some good writers now, too.
Yeah, I think Matt Moore is a good writer. And, you know, I like, you know, Royce Young, I really enjoy reading his stuff.
Yeah.
His stuff is really entertaining, and I think he's a good writer. So I would almost put Royce as my second favorite.
Yeah.
Because I honestly enjoy reading his stuff.
Me too. I was going to say Matt Moore too. Sometimes I get confused. Sometimes he pisses me off on his Twitter. But I think he is a really good writer. I like his pieces.
I'm trying to think of it. I can't remember who it is. But I thought he was also from CBS.
Zach Harper's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. So, Question number eight, referring to Westbrook as athletic is becoming a backhanded comment.
Yeah.
This is from at Tulsa Thunder. False.
I haven't really heard anyone refer. Usually the people that refer to Russell Westbrook as, oh, yeah, he's just really athletic and that's all, are people that aren't very, that don't watch a lot of Russell Westbrook, so I don't really take it very seriously.
Yeah, if they're just saying, oh, he's an athlete and that's really about
right.
it. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's just dumb. But it's also hard to talk about him and not mention what a crazy athlete that he is, because it is a huge part of his game. I think that probably for some people it is a backhanded comment, but I think for people who actually spend time to watch the games and to, you know, actually get into who Russell Westbrook is as a player, would not use it that way.
I've heard people refer to LeBron James as the best athlete ever. Being called athletic is not a backhanded comment. All the time.
No, it's not a bad. It's not a bad thing at all.
Right.
Just as long as you're educated, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
So it'd say false.
False.
Number nine. Perk is not good enough to play in the NBA. And this is from at Bobby Wheat.
False.
False. I think he had a move last night, and this is where it probably comes from. Is Durant? It was a gorgeous play. And the ball gets thrown to, you know, it's like a fast break, and Durant gets it, and he's kind of cutting across the middle of the lane and throws this behind-the-back bounce pass right to Perkins in stride. And if it's Steven Adams or if it's Serge or if it's Nick Collison, they're going to go up and dunk it. Like, no problem.
Oh, my gosh.
Perkins fumbles the catch and then messes up a reverse layup, and then the ball goes to the Clippers.
Why does he go under the hoop all the time?
He couldn't catch it. By the time he caught it and was still in motion, he was on the other side of the basket.
Oh, my gosh.
It would have been like SportsCenter top 10 for the next 30 years.
Really?
30 years? Wow.
Yeah.
So do you think, Andrew?
You know, if Perk was on the open market today.
He was a free agent right now.
Yeah.
Nobody pick him up.
I just don't know. I think people would pick him up. I think clearly the New York Knicks would love to have Kendrick Perkins on their team today.
Mm-hmm.
I think
make that happen.
He still has value. Yeah, we'll take back Andrea Bargnani. You want to do that?
No.
I don't know. I think that you need big guys still, and I think that Perk still has value.
I think so. He's still a good one-on-one defender, defender. He'll have a job as a backup center if he was on the free market right now.
I'm over being anti-Perk. Like, Perk serves a purpose. My only issue is I wish Scott Brooks would stop. I mean, every time they play, that starting unit gets them in a hole. I watched them play the Nuggets. The backups come in, put them within four, right?
Right.
Come out second half, starters come in, they're back down by 14. Like, it just doesn't, like, he sticks with that unit out of the stubborn loyalty or something, and it just ends up making no sense to me. So, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Next and last true or false question. And I just deleted it, but I remember what it is. This is the best Thunder bench ever. I think this is a question that just kind of came out of conversation. You know, Andrew said it last night on Twitter.
It's one of my favorite Thunder benches for sure. Just because I love the combination of Nick Collison and Steven Adams.
Yeah.
Plus Reggie, Jeremy Lamb, PJ3. Derek Fisher is playing
well. Yeah, he's playing. He plays
doing
good.
Exactly what he's supposed to be doing.
He plays good.
He plays good.
I can't think of another one that I enjoy. I think everybody's going to go to some Harden benches that won, especially that last year. But who else was on the bench? Harden and Nick Collison.
I'm actually going to 2011. So not the year James Harden got Sixth Man of the Year. It was Maynor, Harden, Collison, Cook, and Nazir Muhammad. And they all together averaged, they gave us 35 points per game, the five of them. And I think that was probably, as far as productivity goes on a consistent basis, on a game-to-game basis, I think that was our best bench that we've had. I like this one better. I would rather watch this one. That's good. But I think that that one with Maynard and Harden.
You brought some stats out on us, man. I tell you, so go position by position, right? Harden, nobody
right.
equals him. I'd take Reggie, maybe not over, probably I'd still take Reggie over that Maynard, especially now. Reggie was so good again last night.
That Maynard was just a totally different feel, and it just worked perfectly with Harden, like in that other bench.
Nick is group. Actually playing, I feel like he's taken more of a proactive role than he yeah. had. Nazi was really good in points.
Nazi was great for us. When he was here, he was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still
another
not bad.
Guy that we feel yeah. like should have been playing instead of Perkins. And then
Daquan Cook had a good year
Daquan
that year.
Daquan was good, but I mean, yeah, you're right. It's a great bench. I'd put those right there. 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Maynard, if you're just looking at stats, he was only like 4 points, you know, 3 assists a game. In
right.
that stretch. And like I thought he was really good. But he's not Reggie Jackson. He's just not. Even at Eric Maynard's peak, he's not who Reggie Jackson is today.
I'd agree. I would just take him in that. I don't think you could put Reggie Jackson in that group and it would work. It would be as productive as it was. I just feel like chemistry-wise, that second unit that we had that year was awesome. Eric Maynard was really good. He didn't put up the stats, but all of us watched him and thought that that guy is, like, we're so lucky to have him as yeah. our backup point.
But as a defender, he wasn't very good, though. I don't know. I really, really like Reggie Jackson.
I really like him, too.
I don't think that Eric Maynard was anywhere close to one of the best backups in the league then, and I think that
it's an
Reggie,
actual question now.
Reggie is today. So
we were all talking about how Maynard was, we had one of the best backup point guards in the league.
We did. I think we all, it was a hard time for us Thunder fans, right? Because that was also the season where Russ was really bad Russ at times, and we didn't appreciate him the same way. And so we kind of rejoiced when Eric Maynard got to play. Like, I remember, you remember the Twitter, I mean, it was, people would go crazy when.
Right, they wanted Maynard to start over Russ. Yeah. I was never on that party, but.
He's more of a true point guard.
Right? Yeah.
I think, especially looking back now, like, nobody's going to ask for Eric Maynard over Reggie Jackson right now.
No, not right now.
No, not right now. He's not even in the rotation.
Definitely not
with
right
the Wizards
now.
Anymore.
No.
But, yeah, I think a lot of that had to do with Russell Westbrook yeah. and how out of control
yeah.
he was.
The hard thing is that the bench now is less utilized than it was in 2011, too. Like,
yeah, Serge that's
Ibaka,
true.
Didn't play as many minutes in 2011 as he does now. The starting unit is just so much better. So it's a great bench, man. They have depth on depth. So moving on, let's look at who our most surprising team of the year so far is.
Jay, you can guess what I'm about to say. And Portland. I think Andrew's going to be there with me.
They're mine, too. 10-2. Portland Trailblazers.
Got to go Portland. They have the third best offensive efficiency and they're 10th in opponents' points per game, which is it's pretty good. It doesn't mean that they have a great defense. It definitely doesn't. And if you watch, you can tell they don't have a great defense still. But it does mean that they have a much better defense than last year, at least. And then their offense is unreal this year.
I'm just not that surprised about
Thank
them.
You.
I'm honestly not.
I'm surprised that they have them and the Spurs have the best record right now. But
I think it's a little bit inflated on their schedule, but you win the games you play, and you're 10-2 right now. You beat the Spurs. You know, you've got some good road wins against probably teams that will be better later on in the season. Damian Lillard is – I think if Damian Lillard was in these, you know, commercials that Kyrie Irving was, we'd be saying that Damian Lillard was better than Kyrie Irving. He's playing better than him this year.
He's definitely playing better than him this year.
Yeah. Great. He also has a much better team.
Yeah, he does.
He does.
A much better team.
And LaMarcus Aldridge is playing fantastically
playing well
this
well.
Year.
He's awesome. Matthews, Batum, you have...
Robin Lopez is doing exactly what they brought him in to do.
Exactly. And then they have CJ McCollum yet. Now, I don't think this team is probably... I don't know if they get in the top 4 seeds by the end of the year. I think they're probably 5-8. I do still see them in the playoffs. But, yeah, surprising team. What about you, Andrew?
I've got several teams that have surprised me. The Knicks and the Nets have surprised me because
they're
suck.
They're so bad.
So bad.
That whole division is really bad.
Yeah, I think the Raptors lead that division at 5-7.
That's embarrassing.
The hardest thing about that for me is so these top three seeds in the East will be inflated, and by the end of their records are going to be inflated because they beat the crap out of a bunch of terrible teams.
They beat the crap. These bad teams beat the crap out of each other. Like the Wizards could beat the crap out of the Cavs, and like it's like, oh well, they both suck. You know, I don't know. I've been surprised about the Pelicans.
Yeah,
they've been really crappy.
I thought they'd be better.
They're at 5-6 right now, which, I mean, obviously there's time to turn it around in an 82-game season, and I think they will.
Ryan Anderson coming back will help a lot.
It will help a whole lot.
Yes.
But Anthony Davis has been awesome. It's just been those other guys that haven't played real well. The Bobcats are 500.
They're going to stay there all season, man, making playoffs. No, they're not.
But they're going to win 30 games this year. Congratulations, guys.
Good job.
Great job.
You're not the worst team in the league.
You position yourself just outside of the good players.
I mean, they're not. They haven't been in the bottom five. This is a big step for them.
Maybe
30-52 may make the playoffs in the East, though.
19 wins might get you in the playoffs this year. Maybe the Bobcats will win the lottery this year now that they don't suck. Maybe it's just like
they don't tank.
Yeah, like the basketball gods have been like, all you had to do was try.
All you had to do was try and fail.
Is yours. Andrew Wiggins is yours.
And Philadelphia has 5 wins. I thought they would have 5 wins by February.
Yeah.
Very surprised by Michael Carter Williams as part of that. Spencer Hawes, did you know how many points he scored in the summer league? You reckon?
Son of. Don't talk about Spencer Hawes ever again to me.
He had 56,
I don't want to hear that name.
58 points.
I think it's
just killing points. Dwight when they played the Rockets. move on.
I think that I agree with all those. I think the Pelicans are the one that I feel like have the most chance to turn it around. Probably the Nets. The Knicks need to get healthy quickly. So do the Nets.
I think if Tyson comes back, the Knicks are not this bad. They rely completely on Tyson.
I honestly think the Knicks and the Nets will be fine.
Like, fine, I think the Knicks are going to get beat in the first round.
I don't know. I think
what if they both play each other in the first round and just the first round explodes and neither of them move on?
The next team gets a bye because these teams can't play anymore.
All right. Next up.
Hate you, Spencer Hawes.
I love you. Top five, bottom five. And
now. Welcome to my bottom five. First, we have the Bucks. They've been really bad. They're 28th in offensive efficiency.
They're so hurt.
They're so bad, and no one likes Larry Sanders anymore.
Yeah.
Carson, Larry Sanders, that love fest is over.
Listen to Carson Cunningham came on the pod with Andrew on Monday night. Great podcast. Thank you, Carson.
That was really good.
Appreciate you. But we talked about that. You're right. Nobody likes Larry Sanders anymore.
No one likes him anymore. He doesn't have any highlights anymore, so you can't even like him for basketball. And he's abusive to puppies, and nobody likes that. People get more upset about puppy abuse than child abuse, I feel like, these days. And so Larry Sanders...
It's kind of true, sadly.
It is sad but true. Sad but true! Sorry, I had to. So the Bucks. Next, I have Brooklyn. Obvious reasons.
Hold on. So is that like...
You got old balls on your team, and Deron Williams has the worst glass ankles in the past 2 years.
Worse than Steph Curry?
In the past 2 years? Totally.
All right.
He's been out ankle injuries 3 times this year already. Give me a break, man.
Talk about a dude that just sucks now.
Deron Williams?
He was so good. In Utah.
Yeah.
He's different now.
Yeah.
Hey, if you'd who was the guy that they drafted him in front of? The other point guard, God, what's his name? Played at, I thought, Wake Forest.
Chris Paul?
Oh, that's right, Chris Paul.
Oh, my.
CP3PO?
I did not realize that they drafted Deron Williams before. Oh, my gosh. Well, now you're...
Or it was the
other Hold on, I think that Chris Paul was picked before him.
That's what... Was what? He?
Who was number one in that draft? You remember that?
Andrew Bogut.
Who's... Looking good now.
Not as good as Chris Paul.
No, not as good as Chris Paul.
All right.
Next, I got the Knicks.
Maybe he was. I don't know.
Because without Tyson, they are trash. Mike Woodson hates Iman Shumpert, and he loves J.R. Smith, and this makes zero sense to me at all.
Remember when Iman Shumpert blew the game, the Pacers game, for them?
did not blow that game, though.
Well, he got blocked on a dunk. I saw that happen once.
I don't. But Iman Shumpert, okay, even if he messed up one game.
Fouled him on the three-point shot. They were
he's
up
a good
three.
Player. He's a good player. I really like Iman Shumpert. I think he's their best perimeter defender.
Yes.
And I think he's a pretty serviceable offensive player.
He has services.
I like him. Next, I got Boston. They've lost five in a row now. They were getting hot for a while. They won four in a row. They've now lost five in a row. They are who we thought they were. And last but not least, last but definitely least, we have Utah.
He was picked before Chris Paul.
Oh my
Why did
gosh.
That happen?
And you know who number two was?
Marvin Williams.
How could
this many teams be that bad? Bogut, Marvin Williams, Darren Williams, all ahead of Chris Paul.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Who's your last team? Sorry, Taylor.
Utah. They suck. I don't need to talk about them.
So now it's time for my top five.
And now top five power rankings.
My top five... Not very different, actually. I think the exact same.
Than my bottom five?
Yep, exactly.
Weird.
Same five teams.
We
number
have
one, Pacers.
Different perspectives.
I still think the Pacers are really good. I think Paul George is taking the step to a whole other realm. If he didn't play in Indiana, we would actually be talking about him as a superstar. And maybe if he goes and plays in the Olympics and does really well, because he's, you know.
People do talk about him as a superstar, though. People are talking about him as the MVP right now.
That's true. I guess because we talked about when we define superstar, it means more of almost commercially.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm saying. So he's not there
In the nerd circle, we consider him a superstar. Outside of that, not so.
He's just so quiet.
Conversation earlier
he's very
this
quiet.
Season and yeah. y'all saying he wasn't a superstar.
He's just so quiet.
He is. Good dude. I watched the interview where he was fishing with Dennis Scott, 3D. Number two, the San Antonio Spurs. I don't want to talk about them just because they are who they are all the time,
God
always. Number three, the Heat. The Heat have quietly put about, I think, five or six wins back-to-back, playing really well. They can do what they want to do, and I will never take them off this top five. I should just have them at one because I will not take them off of my expected champions until somebody beats them.
Right.
I have the Thunder at number four. I think the way they played last night combined with kind of already – you see the development of these younger guys, and you see Durant and Russ and Serge playing at an entirely new level. Serge especially, like, his development is humongous for that team, which is where one of my biggest frustrations is when people – that and it's always people that don't watch the Thunder, that, but where is their third scoring option going to come from? I don't know, the guy averaging 15 to 20 points a game and 10 to 15 rebounds a game? Anyway, but – it's like, well, anyway. And then four, five, I know it's right now, they just lost to the Grizzlies, but I still think the Warriors, when they're healthy, and this is also maybe because there's not a whole lot of really good teams right now.
They didn't have Steph Curry, though, the night, so.
They lost to the Grizzlies without Steph Curry, and so I'll keep the Warriors up there. Sorry, Portland, I know you'd probably like to crack the top five. I just am not sold on you completely yet.
They should be in the top five right now because it's
weekly.
Would
you take them over any one of those five teams?
For this past
one
week?
Game. First, even this past week.
Yeah.
Who would you
with
take
With Steph
over?
Curry out, I'd put Portland in.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying I just told you that Steph Curry playing, I put the Warriors at five. I think they're the fifth best team.
Okay.
You wouldn't take him.
No, I'd take him.
It's time for our game.
Welcome to my game. Welcome to my game. All right. This game is called Semen Straw Cab. Now you want me to explain what that is?
Yes, please.
That is back. That is backwards names. Backwards.
Oh, man.
Starting with names backwards. So I'm going to be reading you names of NBA players current backwards. The first word I say is going to be their last name.
Okay.
Okay? So this is totally backwards. The first one, I'll give you an easy one. Smada Nevets. Smada Nevets. And if it's taking too long, I have the team.
Smada.
That's the last name. Dang it, this is a bad game because it's going to take you guys so long.
Smada Evets.
No.
Steven Adams.
Steven Adams.
Smada.
Yeah.
good.
This is going to be a train wreck. Because that was the easy one. No, I have another easy one.
Bring it.
All right, this one, there's no way you guys are... okay, Gned Lowell. Gned. Gned.
Luol Deng.
Lowell. Luol Deng. You got that. All right. Reldnak Nosliu.
Say it again.
Reldnak Nosliu. You have to... You just have to see the spelling on it.
See the spelling.
No, because then you're just reading.
Reldnak?
Reldnak Nosliu. N-O-S-L-I-W.
Huh? Wilson Chandler.
Wilson Chandler. You got it. That's it. Next is... Snissuak Sukramed. Snissuak Sukramed.
Sukramed. Your pronunciation's throwing me off.
Snissuak Sukramed.
So it's a D starts it, the...
Yeah. Yeah.
You got the D. Oh my God.
Sucramed.
If you don't know, we record this at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Sucramed.
Dude, I love this next one.
I have no idea.
He plays for the Kings.
DeMarcus Cousins.
Got it. What's the score right now? You got two, you
I'm
got
dominating.
Two.
2-2.
Seven,
it's 2-2. Next is Seamadge Norble. Seamadge Norble. 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 He plays for the Heat. Seamadge Normal. Norble.
Seamadge Normal.
No.
Chris Anderson. No.
N-O-R-B-E-L.
LeBron James.
Got it. 3-2. Next, Ixtiwan Grant. This game will never end. He plays for the Mavs.
I have 35 of these.
Oh my God.
He plays for the Mavs. Ixtiwan Crid. Ixtiwan Crid, should I say.
Crid?
Crid.
D.
Plays for the Mavs.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah, oh. Got it. All right, the very last one. Whoever gets this one, woo, you win. You win. Even though Jay won, but this one's worth 5.
I think we're tied.
All right, you ready?
This is actually for the win.
Up Manuokotetna Sineg plays for the Bucks. Up Manuokotetna.
Are you typing this in?
There's 15 letters. There's 15 letters in the first word I just said. He plays for the Bucks.
Kravashchov?
No.
Ilyasova?
No. No. Oh, my gosh.
Lenny Kravitz?
No.
The box.
Yes.
Ron Butler.
He's Greek.
I have no idea.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yep. Got it.
I couldn't tell
you
that get
guy's
that
name
easy.
Anyway.
I know.
There's lots
Sorry,
of weird
guys.
Bucks players.
That game was funner in my head.
Nate Walters?
Hey, that was way too long.
Hey. That was fun.
That took way too long.
It's time for our Say What. Stat of the week.
Say what?
Stat of the week. Andrew, you want to start?
This is from John Schumann. Since winning player of the week, Markieff Morris has shot 4 for 21, and Marcus Morris has shot 19 for 33.
Ooh, little brother rivalry.
Are we sure we didn't confuse them?
They have been confused since... No, I'm just kidding. Since his winning player of the week, they forgot his first name and have been recording his stats incorrectly.
My say what sound of the week is Wednesday night versus Pelicans. Gordon Hayward shot. Anybody got a guess?
He was shot and killed. Oh, my God.
Terrible. Terrible.
That's awful.
Shot.
It's also our 4-1
Gordon Hayward shot.
He took 17 shots. Anybody want to tell me how many he made?
One.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
One
I
of 17.
That.
The only player over the last 25 years with more attempts on one or fewer made field
Derek
goals.
Derek Fisher.
Chris Bosh.
Nope.
2011. One of 18.
Shout out Chris Bosh.
Leave Bosh alone.
He's on my fantasy team. Gordon
Hayward. Say what's out of the week?
My say what's out of the week is I ate 15 Oreos yesterday.
15 Oreos.
Yesterday.
What?
Didn't feel sick.
Say what?
I did not feel sick.
Last is our poor one out. Andrew, you want to lead us off on this one as well?
I'm pouring out for the New York Knicks.
Mm. You gotta.
Man, they suck. J.R. Smith is in panic mode currently.
He actually said that.
He said, personally, I'm in panic mode.
Whatever. I think Tom Haberthrow said on Twitter, he goes, which is horrible for the NBA.
If J.R. Smith's in panic mode,
throwing up everything.
Oh, my
God. Not horrible in, like, oh, God, dangerous way, but in, like, oh, Lord, the Knicks are going to be worse.
Yeah, they're going to be much worse. That loss to the Pacers really stung because they should have won that game.
Which would have been a big turning point win, in my opinion.
Yeah, that would have been a good win.
They played really well. Carmelo Anthony was awesome. He was unstoppable. I think he had like 18 or 19 rebounds in that game. And they were trying really hard, and then Iman Shumpert fouls on a three-point shot, ties up the game, goes into overtime, and they lose. I had to bring this up. Bradford Doolittle, he's a writer for ESPN. He suggested this trade. Hasheem Thabeet for Iman Shumpert.
Excuse me? What's this guy's a writer on ESPN?
Like straight up?
Straight up.
Hell no, do the Knicks do that?
Maybe. If Woodson hates him, and it's Dolan, who knows?
Isn't that the funniest trade you've ever heard
that's
of?
That's a very
if you
funny
got
trade.
Iman Shumpert for Hasheem Thabeet.
You just got the biggest steal ever.
It would be like, I can't even tell you what it would be like.
It's like good versus bad.
Who's your 4-1 out there?
You go ahead. I'm pouring one out for myself. I did really bad on pour one out and say what's sad of the week.
I'm
pouring one out for myself. I ate 15 Oreos yesterday. I'm pouring one out. I'm pouring one out.
Those Oreos have affected me.
Yeah.
I'm pouring one out for my man Kobe Bryant.
Mm.
The Black Mamba is going to have way too many expectations on him for a team that still is really weird.
He will fulfill. He will fulfill.
No way they'd make it to the playoffs.
He might play. Oh, you did not just say that. You understand that by saying that, now they're guaranteed to make the playoffs.
What do you think, though? Like, don't you think it's going to be weird when Kobe Bryant comes and tries to play for this team? They're such a goofy team.
They're working so well right now together that Kobe Bryant's going to come in and really F up that chemistry.
I'm pretty sure Kobe can hear us right now.
I know.
He hears every bad thing that happens. Oh, my God. He's like the devil.
Here's the deal, though.
I will like the say real this, devil.
Just because I think people are, if there's anybody that can, number one, live up to and exceed expectations, it's Kobe Bryant as far as recovery from an Achilles injury.
Yes.
And number two, if there's a personality and a guy that could take a team that's such hodgepodge dudes and turn them into something, you know, it could be a guy like Kobe. Because the good thing is there's nobody on that court that wants to be ball dominant. And so he'll be allowed to do that. And so it may work for them. Everybody's getting so jacked up about this dude and his return. I'm just nervous for him because Achilles is a big deal.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
Real quick, I have a real poor one out. This is Steve Nash. He's been going through rehab and all this stuff. He is literally now really considering retirement right now. So he may not ever come back to the NBA. Pouring one out.
Which I don't know what's more sad, watching him play right now or him retiring. I don't know.
I would feel bad if he was forced into retirement from his injuries. That sucks.
But it's exactly what everybody was afraid of him doing. When he went to
the
Lakers.
It's true. Yeah.
That's a poor one out for the NBA, man, because you won't see anybody like him for a really long time. Man.
Dude, what if Steve Nash retires and all of Dirk's powers go away?
It's like Samson's hair.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us.
Samson was a bad person.
Dirk was not a bad person. I've seen a lot of drunk pictures of Dirk, though. I don't know why there's so many on the internet.
Who cares? He's maybe my favorite non.
No, I'm saying that's. I like that. I think it's hilarious.
So you're a fan of alcoholism?
I'm a fan. Are you saying Dirk's an alcoholic?
That's what it seems like said. Thanks for joining us on the Down and Dunk podcast. We appreciate you tuning in. Remember, check us out on iTunes. Check us out on Twitter. Search Down to Dunk on iTunes. Search DTD podcast on Twitter. Also, check us out on our website, downtodunk.com. We appreciate you tuning in. Check us out next week.
You suck, Spencer Hawes.
Love you.